To bring Rashad Robinson of Color of Change PAC into this 30-second response on the issue of climate crisis.
I thought it was a big step for Biden, to be so clear. I know his campaign's walking back some aspects of it, but the larger piece to speak so clearly on the stage about oil. And then you have Donald Trump on the other end at every turn, not actually like issuing a belief about anything, but speaking specifically to states, talking about the strategy. It's sort of what he does. I do think that we are seeing the results of a lot of work and effort and activism of pushing the Democratic Party, of raising the stakes on what we are facing in terms of climate and in terms of what has been allowed by major corporations to be able to pollute our environment, and particularly to be able to put so much pollution right at the back door of Black and brown communities.
And Eric Andiola, you tweeted last night that you grew up near an ExxonMobil plant. You know what frontline communities are about. 10 seconds.
We do. And I, again, as the pandemic right now shows, every time there's something happening in the environment, something that is happening outside of our control, people of color, communities of color, Black communities, Native American communities, undocumented people are the ones who suffer the most. And so we need to make sure that, yes, climate change is at the top of the agenda of the next president. And, you know, we don't know what Biden is going to do, but at this point, we know what Trump has not done.
We have to leave it there. Erica Andiola and Rashad Robinson, thanks so much. I'm Amy Goodman. Special thanks to Julie Crosby.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The Development and Events Committee meets on the fourth Monday of the month at 4:30 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 8:01 a.m. It's Friday. Mind that gap, because we're bridging it. Girls are powerful. Stay tuned to your community connection.
It is The Gap with your favorite hosts, Tammy and Althea. Hello, Althea.
Hello, hello.
I see you.
That song got me all hyped up. I'm like, I'm on one now. I'm ready to go.
Yes. I know that people love this early morning Beyonce singing, so yeah, get it.
Get the energy going.
Yeah, get some energy going.
Needed energy.
Yeah, especially after, you know, such a long, long night, week. You know, long week. It's Friday.
Yeah. There was one of my favorite podcasts that I listened to mentioned something to the effect of, like, if you took this week, like, copy-pasted this week and posted it into, like, 2011, it would have been the worst week of 2011. Oh. And not that much bad stuff. Like, this wasn't the worst week of 2020.
Oh, so sad. Sad but true. And in the studio along with us, we have Sonia. Hello, Sonia.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for all of your engineering and technical skills. Yes. So this is KBOO, KBOO 90.7 on your FM dial, and we are still in membership time.
Yeah.
Membership season. 'Tis the season.
Coming and to the close of it now.
Yes, we have about a week left. Was it 9 days? A week left.
I think 8 days.
Eight
left.
Days. Eight
ending
is
on spooky Halloween.
Yeah. Yeah, and if you are able to contribute during this spooky season, KB would definitely appreciate it and would benefit from it greatly. You can go on to kboo.fm and go up to the donate button, mm-hmm. but also once you go on the website or even on the app, it'll congregate this flyer, and you could just click there and it'll take you to where you need to make your contribution.
Yeah, and support this, you know, community resource. We've worked hard to keep our doors open during COVID-19, continuing to offer opportunities to people both to learn radio. A lot of people are producing from home now, so that's a whole new skill set, but also to maintain all of our wonderful voices on air and our eclectic mix of, you know, public affairs, music. I do the news show, so yeah, there's something for everybody. There's a lot to love. Yeah, and Tammy and I here at The Gap, we are able to offer you a thank you gift if you, when you go on the donate form and you mention us in your comments, we'll record you a little voice message.
Yes.
We'll do that for you. It could be anything you want, creative as you want, your outgoing voicemail message. Obviously, let people know that you're not available right now, because that's the other thing is like, everybody's too available right now. It's like, I know you're home. But maybe if you had me or Tammy saying like, call back later, like send them an email. I don't know what to tell you. They're not available. Or really any other kind of voice message that you want. We would be glad to thank you with that if you contribute to us at kboo.fm/give, or just go to our homepage and click on donate.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, there's one other thing related to monetary support and donations that I wanted to bring up. Last week we had, folks might remember, we had a caller asking about our relationship to Kroger and Fred Meyer. KBOO is a nonprofit, to underscore that. So I just wanted to clear that up because we didn't have all of our ducks in a row at the time.
I would say that wasn't the time nor the place, but well, I do appreciate you, you know, bringing it up and
this is a talk show addressing concerns. And we were talking about like elections and endorsements at the time, but to clear that up, what is our relationship to Fred Meyer? Basically, for KBOO supporters who may not be able to give us money directly, there's an option where you can link us to your Fred Meyer rewards card if you're shopping there. And some of whatever points you earn, we get some amount of money from Fred Meyer. It's not a lot, I know that, but it is an option for folks who aren't able to give to us directly. So,
yes, and
we've had that in place for a long time.
Yes, and it's been airing on the air very openly and non, so I do appreciate you addressing that, and it's a lot like for folks who might not be, very versed in rewards programs. It's kind of like the Smile on Amazon type thing, mm-hmm. where they have the option if you go through it to, donate like a cent or something out of your purchase to a nonprofit. But that's just, just want to be upfront, and that's really, appreciate that.
That's another option for folks if they're wanting to support us. Yeah. But anyway, let's get into the nitty gritty.
There we are.
Good stuff.
What
the people really come here for.
Let me just. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you could hear. I was adjusting my chair and sitting back because
that was
about
a good chair creak. I'm holding really still to keep mine from creaking.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Oregon elections.
Yeah, we want to talk about what's going on in our local elections and like election anxiety. Yesterday there was this report that broke from this like crisis monitoring group online called ACLED that named Oregon as one of five states where there is like increased risk of militia activity around the election. So wanted to talk about that.
No, what do you say? How I would like to maybe look up, maybe I'll do that right now, so what their definition of militia activity is. I wonder if it's the same as Homeland Security, or is it the same as, you know, like what, you know, is it,
yeah.
What exactly does that mean? Does that, you know, is it, because that can come in a lot of different.
Right. My understanding is that it's far right militant folks with weaponry. But yes, look it up for sure.
It is politically affiliated.
Politically affiliated.
Okay.
But, you know, and I wanted to look into kind of like what is allowed. And obviously, like Oregon, it's a little bit different than, you know, I think they also named like Wisconsin and Pennsylvania on there, where you some of people are going to vote in person, and mm-hmm. so there is maybe more of that like confrontation risk. But at least in Oregon, it's important to mention that there are like electioneering activities, basically trying to convince anybody to take some kind of voting action, isn't allowed within 100 feet of either any state or local elections office or anything collecting ballots.
Within 100 feet.
100 feet.
You're going to put a underline that, bold, underline, italicized.
Yeah, and so that could look like, you know, like if you have cards, as they say, old-timey language. Oh, a handbill.
A handbill?
It was a handbill supporting my favorite candidate. Or, like, circulating, getting signatures for a petition, or if you have some kind of, like, public address, PA system, you got to be at least 100 feet away.
What about T-shirts?
T-shirts? I don't think Oregon regulates T-shirts.
Mm-hmm.
That might have something to do with the fact that we're not standing in line.
Right.
But just wanted to talk about that a little bit, because I know it's a little bit of an anxious time. You know, people want to make sure that they're safe at the ballot box, making sure that they're, you know, because there's a lot going on politically, obviously, militias, as we mentioned. But yeah, you know, last day to mail in your ballots is October 28th. You can drop them off November 3rd until 8 p.m. And some of the counties, you can track them by email notifications. I did that. I live in Multnomah County. I think Lane County does it as well, where you can get a notification if your ballot has been accepted.
So as a voter, I'd like to ask you, of course, not anything too specific or anything, but and then, you know, I'd love to get into the other part of it. But
yeah,
what were some of the topics that kind of resonated with you the most, that you saw candidates kind of highlight?
Well, a lot of them are definitely talking about racial justice and racial equity. And I also think that it kind of, in looking at like the materials, obviously, that like the state and the county sent to me, like when that's not mentioned, it also sticks out a lot to me.
Right.
People are talking a lot about that, and also a lot about like financial considerations around COVID-19. And, you know, but even like picking up my ballot, I was like, wait, I thought that I was like ready for this. I thought that I was like fully informed, ready to go. This will take me 10 minutes. It took me more than 10 minutes. I had to do some research. And I actually, you know, last week we were talking about endorsements and figuring out how does that show us where people lie, where they align. And so I did use that as some of my information, especially because, you know, local races, they don't have party affiliation or that kind of clear differentiation, and the material that's in your elections packet is like material that they provide about who they are and who supports them and what they stand for, so they're not like fact checked, you know. Which I don't know that that's like some great problem, but it's good to get your information from a couple different sources.
Put it
that way.
And then going back to what you had mentioned about the, you know, not being allowed to express any kind of support one way or another, mm-hmm. within 100 miles of a valid
100 feet. 100 miles, you have to go stand in Washington if you want to have an opinion.
Get out of here,
get on the other side of the river, damn it.
But it made me think of this article that I had seen floating around. I want to say it was CBS, but I'm not sure. And it was of a police officer who was, you know, somewhere at the ballots, you know, kind of floating around, just like, you know, protecting and serving. And they had a presidential, some sort of, you know, showing affiliation with a political party, you know, and with the president. So I was wondering, like, you know, people are saying, oh, this is a form of intimidation. And I was more interested to see how the conversation was evolving, you know, in the comments, which that's a very good place to see where, you know, but sometimes, you know, there are once in a blue moon, you will find
a robust and healthy discussion in the article's comment section.
Filled
sure.
with questions and answers and cuss words and, you know,
sharing of information.
Yes. This was kind of that, but not really.
Sure.
But just the fact that so many people did felt a concern about it, you know, felt some sort of way about it, whether they were concerned or felt like that it was intimidation. And it's so interesting to use that word, because when you go out and you vote, even if you're, you know, you're standing in line, and I'm wondering, you know, if you have someone with a loudspeaker standing right in front of you, maybe even lording over you because they're on a soapbox.
Hey.
And you kind of, maybe you do kind of feel some sort of way. Maybe, I don't know if intimidation is the word. Maybe it is. Mm-hmm. But it creates an aggressive situation, mm-hmm. you know, for fighting and stuff like that. Or kind of like getting swayed at the line just because someone was shouting the loudest on their soapbox. So I see the validity in that. And do you have, like, what's your opinions on?
I mean, yeah, voter intimidation and thinking about the ways that it works now, like, voter intimidation is a type of voter suppression. You're trying to get people not to vote. And, like, when you think about the history of voter suppression in this country, like, it goes back to, like, Jim Crow era tactics of trying to make sure that, like, newly freed slaves wouldn't be able to vote because they made it so difficult or confusing, but also made it easier for white people to do it. And so even though we've, like, grown since then, voter suppression has had a resurgence in the past, like, 10, 15 years, and it's something to really, like, be aware of. But I think even if, you know, Oregonians for the most part haven't necessarily had the experience of someone, like, yelling in your face when you're, like, driving by in your car to put your ballot in the box. And that's the nice thing, is that there's always, like, attendants at the ballot box on election day who are going to try to, like, work on enforcing those rules. And that's definitely an important job. Like, the examples that I think of is, like, you know, if someone wants you to sign a petition or something, they have to be, like, a decent ways away from the grocery store.
Right.
Or, you know, somebody with their, like, evangelical beliefs. I'm going to say Christian because that's what I've experienced before. Mm-hmm. Like, in Seattle, outside of the Mariners ballpark, like, they have to stand. You have to walk through them to get there.
Right.
But they're, like, a certain amount away. So it's a similar thing to that. But, yeah, something to be aware of, something to think about, especially if we have listeners in other states who are planning on going in person, like, thinking not necessarily, like, the scare tactics or, like, what are we going to do? I got to freak out before I go. But, like, I'm going to go with someone and I'm going to have transportation and a plan of what I'm doing after. Like, thinking through all of those steps, I think, is important.
When you say voter suppression, I first thing I think of is, like, the unions and, like, people standing with, like, bats and, like, beating each other up and, like, and, like, that's... But I guess that's, like, kind of an extreme, you know.
It wasn't that long ago. Like, a lot of
They got to stop making these pictures black and white, man. Like, they're exactly. Really, you know. I've seen some of these civil rights pictures colorized. It looks exactly like going downtown. Yeah. It looks like it's like, why are you trying to make this feel like it was so long ago?
It wasn't that long ago. Well, and even in, like, the... right around the 1920s was, like, the progressive era, quote unquote, where a bunch of different reforms were made because you had all, like, elections worked way different than they do now. You had, like, these political machines in big cities like Boston or New York where, like, the political parties had their own ballots, and they would, this is like prohibition era, they're like, we'll buy you a beer if you vote for us, like, coming up to people and, like, here, take $20, go put this in that box. So obviously we don't do it that way anymore, but even just, like, thinking about having like solid conceptions of, like, no, we go and we stand in line and then we go to the polling place, or, you know, that here on the West Coast you, like, mail in your ballot or whatever, that so much has changed over time. And it's like, that was like 100 years ago. Like, there's maybe a couple people kicking around who were there for that. So
yeah, I remember, you know, my grandmother, she, when she was voting, she would, you know, she was still alive when voting, she would, like, it felt like she was doing something so amazing. And he would vote at the school because the school would open up the gymnasium. Mm-hmm. And it was, you know, you, like, walked in there and it wasn't scary or any, like, you had the people and they were like these, you know, they weren't like these beefcakes, you know, with MRs or just like M16s or something. They were like these, maybe teachers, maybe they're administrators, maybe they're like your local, like, bookshop, like, librarian or whatever. And they would just stand there and, like, and then they'd say, yeah, we're, like, protecting democracy. And it felt like so, like, you know, I was a kid just walking with her, and it felt so, like, oh, this is, America, like, you know, yeah. And again, like, of immigrant, like, we're, you know, an immigrant family, so it was very, like, you know, of course, since we are, you know, African, we didn't have the connotations that a lot of, you know, African Americans and Black people have with voting and all of that. So having that being removed, it felt so, like, I don't want to say patriotic, but it felt so, like, this is, like, what this is like in the movies, you know? Yeah. It felt, like, so much, like, very, like, white picket fence type stuff. But growing up and, you know, of course, being, like, realizing the history and not, and just not being, you know, freaking, you know, fourth grader anymore.
Sure.
It was different, but the contrast between then and now, mm-hmm. when it hasn't been that long, right. you know, it's just, it's really like armed militias? Like, really, dude? Like,
yeah.
armed militias? There were librarians here, like, a couple of years ago, you know?
Right. Especially because, like, I don't know, of all of the quote-unquote patriotic acts, which the idea of patriotism or even some, like, symbols of America, quote-unquote,
civic duty,
have been taken and, like, co-opted by one particular party, but it's, like, voting is, like, I don't know, like, an unproblematic thing to do.
Yeah, it's yeah.
Democracy is our shared project, and I'm gonna, you know, scribble in this thing, you know.
It's kind of like, I may not agree with what you have to say, but I'll fight to the death your right to say it, some full care yeah, stuff, whatever,
like
yeah.
Well,
but,
and I think, okay, that kind of, if you'll allow me to switch a little bit and talk about, like, election anxiety, because it doesn't really, I'm not going to say that it doesn't feel like that anymore, because I'm, like, glad that I voted, and I'm glad it's done, and that, you know, we're seeing such great turnout this year, but I realized last week that, like, I was running, like, if you think of it as, like, a scale of 1 to 10 of, like, anxiety, I realized I was running a constant 3 for, like, no reason.
Mm.
And it was kind of freaking me out, because usually when I have anxiety, I'm like, okay, what's the thing that I didn't do? Who did I not email back? What right. am I
Did I
avoiding?
Eat? Did I drink?
Yeah. Did I sleep last night? Yeah. No. Who did I not call? Like, what responsibility have I neglected? And my roommate pointed out that it's like, no, I think that it's like election anxiety. And I'm like, oh, that makes a lot of sense, because we are kind of like hanging in limbo right now.
Well, in all sorts of sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the COVID limbo, this limbo, just, it feels, the other day I was like, are we in Portlandatory. Portlandatory. Thanks. Thank you for, you saw what I was trying to do yeah. there, but my mouth wouldn't play along. Portlandatory. Yeah. Or it just feels like we're neither here nor there. Like, we are getting somewhere, but we're also standing still, you know? Mm-hmm. But we're still, I don't know, I'm sorry that you're feeling the election anxiety, and being at a 3 is not fun, but I wonder, is it at a 3 because of the anxiety? Is it like a COVID 3 on top of anxiety, or is it pre-COVID anxiety and then then election on top of it, you know?
Because everyone,
I don't know, I feel like it's this, you know, you think you figured it out, and then just every day different, you know, like you said, if you take this week and you put it in 2011,
it would have been the worst week of 2011. Yeah, 100%. Well, I was thinking about that because you posed that question to me previously. And I think that, like, my, like, running COVID anxiety meter, like, just passive, I guess, where, like, I'm not necessarily in, like, a situation where I'm potentially exposed to people, I think that kind of, like, tapered off in, like, June, I want to say.
Mm.
And so if it is running, I am not conscious of it anymore.
Eesh.
But I definitely still do get, like, anxiety. It's like, oh, goodness, people. Okay.
Right, right. All right,
yeah. I'm going to go. I'll wait. It's fine.
Oh,
no, I forgot my mask. Okay. You stand over there.
Yeah, and there's, yeah, you have to wash your mask, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, people aren't saying that.
Yeah, there isn't. This is why we're here. We're bridging that, yeah. Minding and bridging.
Mm-hmm.
Bridging and minding. Wash your mask every, what is it, 2 days?
I have a couple in rotation.
Okay.
So I'll chuck them in the wash.
Chuck them in the wash.
After a good day's work. But again, we're not medical professionals. Sonia?
Sonia has something to say.
I got a mask. It came with an advisory about, you know, like, hang it dry, because, you know, tumble dry fabrics tend to, you know, pull in.
Yeah.
And
I learned
right.
that. I learned that lesson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the part that really stuck out to me was, like, treat it like your underwear. Like, wear it once, then wash it. I'm like, you don't know me.
Flip it. You flip it.
Definitely flip don't flip it inside out.
Don't flip. You're saying do not flip it around.
No, I'm going to say no. The analogy stops there. The mask. I mean, I am not going to pass judgment on the underwear thing, I guess. This is not the time to live.
Get it how you live. Get it how you live. But yeah. So every time. So every time you use it. You wash it.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if I should... Thank you, Sonia. I was wondering why my mask shrunk. I was really sad because it was the one that goes over the ears, and it was one that was actually big enough and didn't make my ears, like, welt down like little sad roses.
Yeah, it's nice when you can get one that's, like, comfortable enough.
Yeah. And if anyone has any suggestions about glasses and masks, because I am struggling so hard. I'm just... It's so hard. It's very hard. I can't even talk to people. I have to I'm like, am I going to talk to you or am I going to take my glasses off and not be able to see you? It's just that's where I'm at. Yes, Sonia?
I find that the lower you wear them on your nose, then the more room that that moist air has to get past without fogging up. And or the higher your mask sits.
Yes, that's been my trick.
Then it goes up past, it goes kind of past and behind your glasses.
Yeah, or you could get one of the masks that has a little bit of wire over the nose and pinch that down.
Yeah, and then
you can at least then maybe it'll
tighter fit there, so
divert to the side of your face.
Yeah, it doesn't go up out, it goes out the side.
Yeah, you gotta fit, and I don't want it to be too loose so that, I still want to be protected, but I tried trying to do the thing with the mask all the way in the back, but got these long, beautiful, luxurious eyelashes, and they just kind of flutter on top of it, and it's bothersome.
That sucks.
Yeah. Well,
just long, beautiful eyelashes.
What can I say?
Just getting in the way.
Maybe she's born with it.
Just pushing off your glasses. You have to hold them on your face because your eyelashes are so long. Okay, this is more of a visual conversation. We should cut it out. But one thing I wanted to mention about election anxiety is that, it is this kind of, passive thing in my experience, but that, trying to figure out how much to check in versus check out about particular issues.
Oh, yeah, because that's when we were talking, you're saying anxiety, and I said how many people, because I know personally sometimes when in the past when I've been so anxious about something, I'm just like, poof, you don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. And I wonder how many people feel that and what kind of repercussions does that have? Do they just not vote because they're so overwhelmed and crippled from anxiety? Do they just go for whomever, just whatever, just put very little effort into it?
I mean, what anxiety tells your brain is avoid. Mm. It tells your brain, get out of here. But get when it's like, here. I just have to wait until November 3rd / the week of, because votes are going to come in after Election Day in some states. We're not going to have the full story for a little while. So everybody needs to mentally prepare for that. But yeah, and then that there's your brain tells you to avoid. And to a certain extent, avoiding will, soothe that.
It's the fight or flight, you
But
know?
Then, you feel guilty. I feel guilty if I'm, not, up to date on what's happening. But, genuinely, because my job is, news related, I, don't engage
you
a ton.
You don't have that ability
I don't. Really. I try not to engage too much on the weekends. Mm-hmm. I want to know what's going on, but I'm not going to, deep dive and, I don't know, hurt my own feelings.
No, there's something to be said about hurting your own feelings. You being upset when you read an article, that's doesn't feel good, And it has so many ripple effects. And you see it especially when people engage online a lot. And I love to highlight again that it's not going to be like what we're used to, where we're going to have all the answers exactly when we expect them. Mm-hmm. And that in itself is going to cause so much anxiety. And rather than assume or avoid maybe try, I found that reaching to my community and reaching to my friends has been seriously just helpful and a lot more productive in productive ways, in non-menacing, non-violent ways, in because it's everyone is gonna both all points of views and all perspectives about how the world and America and our lives should be going, everyone's going to feel the anxiety, or a lot of people feel the anxiety. I don't want to use hyperboles, but we're still going to be living afterwards, so we can't, we have to still be able to look each other in the eye after this,
this. Yeah. Well, the other thing that I would say is like creating boundaries for yourself. That it's like, you know, after 10 p.m., I'm not gonna, you know, myself on depressing reads. Or one thing that I've done recently is that I've changed the settings on my phone because I get like news alerts and stuff. But I change them so I don't have the whole headline right away. It's just like, the Washington Post is trying to tell you something. So that way when I like first open my eyes and look at my phone, it's like, it's not like just a crushing blow of everything that's gone wrong in the 8 hours that I've been unconscious.
I like that. Oh, go ahead, Sonia.
My stepdad has configured his news alerts so that... he included The Onion, but then disabled the source thing. And so he plays a little game with himself. He tries to guess which one it is.
That would be tough, honestly. The Onion's pretty good. The Onion sometimes is a little too spot on.
I like how we're giving The Onion credit and not like The World going.
The writers at The Onion they're on it, honestly. Satire and reality, the line is blurred.
I have a hard time with the hard times and stuff.
Yeah, hard times.
It's been a good. I saw a thing in the hard times.
It was the headline was, trans person crosses street to avoid performative support from excited liberals.
Mm.
And the photo,
yeah,
is Ninth and Clay.
Wow.
And on that note,
I think we might take a little break and we'll come right back.
Yeah.
Sound good, Sonia?
Sounds good. Sounds good to me. Sounds good to you?
Yeah. I think I'm ready to do it.
A little musical break?
A little musical break, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments.
I'm picking up on that subtext there. Here we go.
Okay.
This is TikTok Watch 2020 with the GAP hosts, Althea Billing and Tammy Upteas.
Da-na-na-na, who missed this segment? that music, the dance break got me excited. I was a little inhibited by my mic cord, unfortunately. But we got a little TikTok watch for you real quick in the second half here related to the Midway song. related to the Midway song. In case folks haven't heard, there has been a viral Fleetwood Mac trend.
Fleetwood Mac is coming back. They're fifth on top 50 on the Billboard chart.
I didn't know that. That's nuts.
It's great. It's so amazing.
It started with this guy. His username is 420 Dogface.
Ew.
He's awesome. Mm-hmm. And he is just like a dude, you know, dancing. He's just kind of grooving most of the time. But there was this video, and it was entitled, I think, Catching a Friday Vibe or something, like, or Saturday Morning Vibe or something. And he's like skateboarding what looks to be by like a two-lane freeway with like a thing of Ocean Spray, drinking that, skateboarding, listening to Dreams by Fleetwood Mac and like lip syncing it into the camera. And it went viral. And so everybody started doing it, skateboarding, listening to the song, having some kind of drink. It's Catching a Vibe is what it was called. And it reunited Fleetwood Mac on TikTok. No joke. Mick Fleetwood did it.
Mm-hmm.
Stevie Nicks did it. Mm-hmm. And just recently, Lindsey Buckingham on a horse did the trend. And
aww,
it's like, the song is about him. You know? And so 2020 has done so many bad things, but it reunited Fleetwood Mac on TikTok. And he's drinking Ocean Spray cranberry juice, and Ocean Spray loved it and like bought him a car. And there was a headline. he's got like a lifetime supply of cranberry juice. And there was a headline in Oregon about how like maybe this like cranberry juice trend could be good for like Pacific Northwest growers because, aww, as I recently learned, Ocean Spray is a co-op, I believe, or it's like owned by a whole bunch of, there's like a ton of different farmers who contribute to that. So that was really cool. And I just, you know, obviously a great song. The kids are discovering Fleetwood Mac.
Yeah, they're loving it.
And they're catching a vibe while skateboarding down by a highway, which that seems a little dangerous. So like skateboard wherever you want.
I wouldn't do it by a highway. There are skate parks, designated greenways. Here in Portland, we have greenways.
I think 420 Dogface had like enough skill where I like wasn't worried about him.
You know? Oh, yeah. He seemed like quite, like he's been doing it for some time. So I don't know if he's a professional, but
Doing it. Plus, because he got a big thing of cranberry juice in one hand. I only ever get cranberry juice if I'm on an airplane. I don't know why. That's just like, it's either, do you want cranberry juice? It's like, no one ever offers me cranberry juice in any other situation. And like, I guess.
That's beautiful. I'm loving that brought them together. It's like you said, a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's timeless.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's something really nice about, you know, when he did this, he didn't think that this would happen, that this would be the result. And that's what's so amazing about like videos that go viral like that, mm-hmm, that they come, I think, from a place where, well, some of them, you know, they built up to become viral, but some of them are just so they just touch something and the human experience, you know, capture it in such a way that so many people can relate to it. And you know, good on you, 420 Dogface. Good on you.
Yeah, big ups from big us ups here at the Gap.
Yes, big ups here.
We
from
appreciate
the Gap
you and you know all your good vibes. Anyway, that was TikTok Watch.
TikTok Watch 2020.
Thank you,
it's still here. We're in 1 month. We're October. It's
for
still
all
here.
Of our fears, it's still kicking. So.
I'd say TikTok 1, the Trump administration 0.
That, yeah, might even be a couple more points on the scoreboard for TikTok there. But anyway, you had an experience recently you know, folks know that on the Gap we like to talk about neighborliness, discovering how do we be neighborly. And you had a little experience like that. Can you tell me about it?
I would love to. And just for folks who are just tuning in, this is The Gap on your local community connection, KBOO Portland. I am Tammy. On the across the way from me is Althea. And then on the other side is Sonia. So hello to everyone. And my experience was most recently I was at a location getting some groceries. And I was just minding my own business, and here I see this person, and something about them, I just couldn't stop looking at them, and I didn't understand why. And I was like, wow, there's something so alluring and the glow coming from them, you know, just something like Bob's Angels just coming up, you know. And
magnetism.
Like birds, you know?
Birds chirping. Yep.
Why do
they fly south for the winter? Magnets.
Magnets. Okay. And I was trying to fly south winter too. And then I realized that they weren't wearing a mask and they were smiling. And I was just like, whoa, I haven't seen someone smile in months, let alone I couldn't believe that. I was jarred. Like, I was just like, whoa, I haven't seen a smile in so long. And I didn't understand, like, what it was. And then I was wondering, whoa, you know, what's kind of like, okay. So,
This better not awaken anything in me. It's your daily community reference in there.
Yes. Love the dean. Mm. So I get that, you know, out of my head, and mm-hmm. I keep going. And his friend wasn't wearing a mask. So mm. they're out here making statements.
Yeah.
And I go about my merry way. Everything is okay. And, you know, kind of had it still in the back of my head. And I realized, you know, well, you know, we kind of haven't been quite able to, like, see each other, smile at each other. And at first it was I could feel it a lot more because I'm hilarious and it's hard to, like, be funny when you can't really quite see, like, if people are smiling or social cues or, like, the delayed Zoom thing. So mm-hmm. it's been
especially
kind of,
when, you know, I think you and I both have something of a dry wit.
We're funny, you just don't get it.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, we're making each other laugh. Continue, I'm fine. Keep going.
And then people can fake it with, you just go like this with your eyes, and then the mask fake, so you don't really have to smile. You just kind of, you know, make it seem like you're smiling.
Scrunch
your
face up, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind. And then I have that in the back of my head, you know, kind of live my life. A couple of days go by, and a proprietor for a store nearby also wasn't wearing a mask.
Oh.
Although they were behind kind of like those shields, kind of like the glass shield that, you know, bulletproof sealed, whatever, but a plastic shield. But they weren't wearing a mask. And I felt this, like, I just wanted to talk to her, like, hey, how are you? Like, you know, of course, I mean, if there wasn't that, you know, big, like, thing of whatever clear contraption that was kind of
plexiglass, whatever,
that was, like, you know, kind of, like, dividing between us, then I don't know if I would have been that friendly, you know? Although it made me wonder, like, what is, or, you know, yours or all of ours or even my own threshold with people who don't wear masks or that don't necessarily, like, follow the procedures that we've all been given, kind of like, okay, you know, you're kind of talking a little too close, you know, kind of like, maybe, you know, stop or whatever. And at first, in the beginning of May, if someone wasn't wearing a mask, I would have noticed it and I would have been like, hey, I wouldn't have said anything. I just walked away. But now I'm like, I saw someone not wearing a mask and I didn't know what it was.
You didn't
that
even
was so,
process that yeah. that was like what you were having a reaction to.
So I don't know if it's just me.
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe there are listeners out there who can, you know, maybe have some opinions on the matter or maybe share what their threshold is.
Yeah.
You can call in at 503-231-8187.
Yeah, we would love to know what, you know, if you see somebody doing COVID different. That makes it sound cool. If you see someone not, like, abiding by protocols and stuff, at what point are you leaving? At what point are you saying something? At what point is it, you know, cut and run? Yeah, give us a call. I would really be interested to know. 503-231-8187. Because for me, the other day, I, like, peeked in a doorway and I was like, oh, too many people. I'll just stand. I'll wait. It's fine.
I'll wait. I've been okay with waiting.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait than.
Or if you see somebody that, like, pulls their mask down to talk to you, or pulls their mask down to cough. That one's a little funny. No, you want to know something funny? I want everybody to feel okay about it. I was in a field when I did it, but I have this hand sanitizer. It's not name brand. It was deeply on sale. And it reeks. It smells so bad. And I keep it in my car. So, like, you know, when I run an errand, I come back to my car, I hand sanitize. And I've really had to work on, like, suppressing my urge to, like, wheeze and cough, because it both has, like, a very, very strong alcoholic smell, But then I think the manufacturer tried to cover that up with like vanilla, nice, potentially. So it really just smells like a bad night. And it like gets everywhere. It's in my hands. It's in my nostrils. And so my process now is that I roll my window all the way down and I stick my hands out the car door window and try to let them dry before I... But it's all because my roommate left my good hand sanitizer in a U-Haul, so...
Aw.
Yeah.
Mm.
You know, the limitations. But yeah, anyway, I did cough in a field. I was like... Because it got stuck in my mask, and I was just like, ah, what do? I can't... It smells really bad. But yeah, I would recommend not doing that. I've been suppressing the urge, you know, to cough.
There's... yeah, even coughing now is this... You know, I have a little tickle in my throat, just... Mm.
It is like, cold and flu season coming up on it.
Even just from, just whatever, maybe I spit got stuck in my throat or something, you know, mm-hmm. Not to get too graphic, but it's like, you do a little or something, and I feel like, you know.
You good?
Yeah, I'm like, am I good? Are people going to think I'm, like, sick or something? And mm-hmm. it's been, I don't know, it's hard, you know, because the whole segment is, you know, we're talking, going back to being neighborly and stuff. And it's kind of hard to be neighborly when you're kind of scared of the person, but, you know, just from, oh, are they taking COVID serious? Like, are they mm-hmm. taking their precautions? Like, you know, because...
Right. And part of, I think, being neighborly is, like, being willing to perform that you care about somebody else's health. That yes. I'll wear a mask and, like, try not to... wheeze and cough in your direction.
I wonder from now on when you have like people over, even if and when there is a vaccine, if people are just going to be like, you know what, let's just keep the mask, or like grocery store workers or yeah. restaurants, bartenders, stuff like that.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, especially because, like, you know, maybe this time last year working at the radio station, there's like a lot of people who are in and out of here working on their shows, doing shows, DJing, everything. And it's like people who work here, who are here all the time, like there's like a long season sick. Of us getting sick all the time.
It's like it's like a kindergarten here.
Yeah,
sometimes.
And it was like revolutionary that like we got to wipe everything down. Even before COVID was happening, it was like, it would just be lovely if we didn't have the staff getting sick all the time. And it's so weird to reflect on that kind of stuff now, of how much we just
took hygiene not seriously
or just like tolerated right. being sick. Or I mean, right. I think I also reflect on myself of like, you know, thinking about my own, if I have symptoms like that, I want to take those more seriously than in the past. Before, I would have been like, yeah, I have a cough and a runny nose and a headache and my eyes are red, but I'm fine and I'm still gonna go to work.
Yeah, that's
a little bit self-sabotaging, I think.
Definitely true. I 100%. Yeah, it's taking myself more seriously, like being more mindful of my neighbors. If, you know, I do whatever, then I'm going to mask up, glove up, whatever. All of the above. I'm to know that you could potentially, it just seems so, you know, not to trivialize it or anything, but it's so sad to me that like this little microscopic freaking like virus can kill a life, like take a life. Like we are mm-hmm. bigger. We're like, we are,
yeah.
we are human, you know, you hear me war. Like mm-hmm. I'm not, you know, so
it's
if we
that,
have to
that,
take
that
precautions.
That caveman part of your brain that's like, if you're going to kill me, you better do it with a spear.
You kill me, I kill you.
You better slash me down with a dang sword.
Yeah, it's just, I wouldn't want, and I I wish that we could slash it somehow with a sword, but it's not that. We have to use a different part of our brain. And like, I wonder if it's like the election anxiety where some people mm-hmm. choose to like just ignore it, you know, where yeah. it's so overwhelming. We don't know. We're in limbo. We don't know. Doctors are constantly changing. You know, experts mm-hmm. are constantly changing because they're out constantly like learning new things. And, you know, to kind of be like, so I do have to wear a mask. So it is airborne. So it's not airborne. So it is unconscious. So it does live on floor. It doesn't yeah. live on surfaces. What's yeah. going on?
And it's like, it's good that the, right. It's good that like the advice hasn't changed like a ton. But I think it also like requires us to be patient, and being patient is hard.
It's a virtue.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah. Turns out we're not as virtuous as we thought we were.
Oh.
You know, it's hard to be patient.
It's and then to bring how it's being politicized on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then it's like, you know, now you have people saying, you know, in different debates and, you know, public settings saying things like, oh, well, if the vaccine is made, I'm going to have my people make sure that your people got this right type thing. And it's like, whoa. Mm-hmm. What are you trying to do? What are we trying to do here? I thought we were trying to make people well, like not... like, you know, just like completely break down the fabric of society.
Yeah.
But, and that's not neighborly.
No.
Not neighborly. So, yeah. Again, if you want to chime in this part of the conversation, 503-231-8187.
We would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about, you know, this comes up into my brain every so often of like what's going to happen after COVID. And it feels weird to even say that because it's like, how do you know there will be an after out there? Like, you're banking too much on the future. You don't know anything. And I was like, well, like spit handshakes, probably should stop doing those.
Oh, man, I forgot about those.
It's like, they were such a big part of my life.
Blood oaths?
Blood oaths. Aww. Probably got to cut that out. Yeah, there's some things like that. It's like, huh. Why did we? Why?
Because wet willies.
What
willies?
Oh yeah. It's like, first of all, don't touch me. Second of all, and granted, we are adults, so wet willies don't come up that often. But if you
maybe
have
not in your life,
if you have a fun uncle, you never know. You never know when a wet willie might come into play.
I am that fun uncle.
Be the fun uncle you wish to see in the world.
more intimate relationships and stuff like that, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like there's a lot of things that maybe wouldn't be as fast paced, maybe, you know.
Sure. Yeah.
You know. Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I'd love to hear if someone ever like tried to, if someone did, you know, last week we were talking, did start a relationship during COVID, you know.
Yeah.
Probably was it internet and then, you know, slowly, you know, Zoom calls and, you know, how worked out.
If that's been going for you, we'd love to hear. 503-231-8187 is that number. I've been wary of that for sure. Well, because everybody was joking about like, oh, there's going to be pandemic babies. And that was when we thought we were going to be inside for a month.
Mm.
And now it's like, I wonder if the birth rate will taper off for a minute there.
You and I are going to lead the charge on researching what we are going to look like in the future. Because this is, you know, big events always have effects later on. It's not immediate effects. It's even the, you know, economic crash that people say that's going to be because of this. Like, I don't think we're quite there even.
Mm-mm.
I don't know if we're even at the second wave. I know that it is, like you said, flu season is coming up. So, you know, there's going to be things that we aren't going to quite feel until maybe 5 years from now, 10 years from now, even.
Yeah.
You know?
And even thinking about like the restrictions, I think in like maybe if like March or April, I would have said that like, oh, when we're done, quote unquote, it's like everybody's going to throw their masks away and I'm going to be hugging every person I see on the street. Like, I'm so happy to see people again. Ah. But now my perspective is more that I think it'll taper off and that it'll take some real time before, if ever, you know, it's going to feel good to, like, go to a concert with a ton of people without a mask.
I feel bad for people who didn't go to a concert yet before this shenanigans happened. Mm. Yes, Sonia. Well,
my favorite band canceled an entire tour. You know, including like three shows in Portland that I actually could have seen. Fortunately, I saw them headline the Hawthorne just before, so was cool. But it's like there is that feeling like, oh man, they were just about to break.
Mm. Yeah,
you know, they were like starting, they were reaching the top of the local scene, and they've already like reached.
Why don't you say name? Drop names. Come on.
Oh, this is Hippie Death Cult.
Oh, of course. We know the Hippie Death Cult. We
have stoner doom metal and
friends of the station, future friends of the show. Why not?
I have said, I've been saying since I first saw them that they're like the very best metal to happen anywhere in at least 30 years.
Mm.
I'm going to see who this is on the phone.
Oh, all right, cool.
We'll pivot back to the matter at hand. But yeah, it's also interesting to think about how like, you know, entertainment, nightlife will change. I know that that's like majorly been put on hold.
They have the bubble. The people are in bubbles, not like the real rich people are like in bubbles during for screenings and stuff. And
oh yeah, I think I saw a concert of people in like those giant plastic like hamster ball type deals. Do you know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they have them
water,
at the fair.
Water and you boy can, type thing.
And you can walk them on water.
Not water boy. Bubble boy.
Bubble boy? I don't know. Bubble boy, call in.
You don't know Bubble boy?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's a movie about, he was really sick. He had an autoimmune disease and he couldn't be outside. So he was in a bubble and he lived in a bubble.
Oh. Is that with John Travolta in 76 or so?
There are two versions. Excuse me. There are two versions.
I'm thinking okay, I got some homework
version
to do.
Yeah. Do we have someone on the line?
Yeah, Robbie's on the line. Go ahead, Robbie.
Hello.
Hey, Robbie.
Good morning.
How's it going, Robbie? Good morning.
Oh, going good. Yeah, the whole COVID thing has gotten me really sad. I think a lot of people have. I think we're gonna find out a lot about more, maybe like the long term effects of like the mental situations. Going, you know, like social interactions, I guess, with kids who aren't going to school and can't play with their friends.
Mm.
A lot of stuff like that. And one thing that I've always tried to like tell myself is that we're physical distancing, not social distancing, because that's what in effect, you know, social distancing is. We're just trying to physically limit how close we are to one another. But it's like when I hear social distancing, it's like, what does that mean? Are we gonna like delete all our friends on Facebook, you know, and all the people?
If only
you don't
it
know
were that simple, right? Just delete Facebook. Yeah. Virus is gone.
I like that. I'm going to start adopting that into my lexicon. Thank you.
There should be an app for that, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Like the social distancing app. Mm. I don't know.
The social media app for social distancing.
There we go.
Yeah, but I think what you said though just a momentary ago with the it's going to taper off, like it's not going to just end, and I feel like a lot of people who are always like, oh, we got to listen to the scientists, like they can't recite what the scientists are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I mean, so here's one take. I have the whole flattening the curve, people who are like, yo, you got to wear your mask. We got to, you know, you got to do all this stuff because then we'll be through this longer. That's actually a false statement. And I'm not against people wearing masks or doing the protocols, but the whole idea of flattening the curve is so it doesn't strain the resources in the hospital.
Right.
Which basically is it's not making it go any faster. So there's like stuff that people, there's like notions in people's heads that kind of drives me crazy because I'll, you know, it's like somebody will post something on Instagram and it's like, y'all, you know, we got to wear your mask and, you know, and flatten this curve so we can get through it faster. And it's like, well, that's not how it works. And I have done a lot of studying on the coronavirus and it's very another thing that you had mentioned is like the scientists are changing what they're saying. You know, at first was it airborne, was it not, you know, droplets, that was kind of going back and forth. How long it's lasting on surfaces has been something that's changed. But also one thing that they recently came out and said is that asymptomatic carriers are not the primary source of the cause of the drive. They're not primary infectors. People with asymptomatic people do not shed the virus the same way that people who have the virus and, you know, are showing the symptoms are. So that's another thing that I think there's just a lot of, you know, like misinformation going on, which leads into the vaccines. I don't think there's going to be a good vaccine. The part about this virus is it's a mutating virus. It's mutated a lot. There's a lot of scientists now, some that I've heard on Democracy Now, saying that chasing a vaccine is pointless because it's going to be in what's going to be like, it'll be your yearly COVID virus, you know,
right.
And then you just hope that 30% effective strain that they did works for you. So that's, there's a lot of stuff going on, but yeah, this isn't going to go away. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Well, appreciate you calling in.
Thank you, Robbie. Yeah, I've been trying to tell my friends, especially ones that are hoping that things will get back to normal and, you know, are unemployed and stuff like that. I'm like, I don't think that, I think this is the new normal.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have to adjust, you know, what is it? Adapt, adjust, you know, just all this.
Improvise, adapt, overcome. That's what Bear Grylls says of surviving in the wilderness.
Well, that's going to be the tagline for this show now.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that. Maybe I will title it that.
Yeah, that's it's and there's a lot of yes.
Yeah.
When you're constantly finding new things, I expect things to be constantly changing. I do remember that at some point they said the sunlight kills a virus, and I got a little scared because I'm like, ooh, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. Shine a flashlight down my throat. Will that fix it? Yeah. I mean, I think it's important to continue tuning into new information.
If yes.
We're going to take anything away from that, and that flattening the curve was the original like reasoning for the mask. Do we have time to mention? I'm going to mention one thing. There's this thing on TikTok. It's a meme, but there was this anti-mask woman who was like, this is the mask that like they require that my child wears to school, and this is a sneeze, and then like takes like a spray bottle of Windex and like drapes it over it, and just like it's like, look at this, there's droplets coming through, which is funny because that's not how it works. Your child is not a Windex bottle. And so then people were making fun of her by like putting a hose through it. It's like, look at this, this is a sneeze. Someone's like, this is what they want you to do with the mask, and like put it in the microwave. And like, this is ridiculous.
Oh, TikTok, the whole universe. Well, we are just about out of time and got 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
I want to say have a great weekend. Thank you, Althea. Thank you, Sonia. This has been The Gap on KBOO Portland.
See you next time.
See ya. Happy weekend. We run this.
You're tuned in to listener-supported community radio, KBOO Portland.
In the 1980s, Portland, Oregon was a sleepy city that largely existed outside of the national spotlight.
Downtown Portland cleared out after 5 p.m. and city buses rolled through quiet streets populated by hobos, punks.